This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com, and I'm speaking today with John Dubioso, who is a longtime sweeping contractor and mover and shaker in the sweeping industry. Everyone knows as Johnny D, who is president of Tri-State Industrial Maintenance Corporation. With him is Heather Cassidy, who is the general manager of that sweeping company, and they are the WorldSweeper.com Contractor of the Month for October 2010. So congratulations, Heather and John, and thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
John, why don't you start us out with a little background about Tri-State Industrial? I know that it is now part of your umbrella of companies, and tell us how that has come about.
We'll go back to, I guess, the mother company, which is 3D Industrial Maintenance, was started back in 1975 and grew slowly up to about the late 80s into the 90s. In the early 90s, we started buying different small companies in New York and Connecticut. Let's go to Connecticut now. We bought the DeSantis company in the early 90s, and we grew that company substantially to the point where we combined it with other small companies that we bought in Connecticut. And the name in Connecticut at that point was Pavement Maintenance Systems. We kept it, I guess, up until about 2006, and I had to start making decisions because it was getting big. We had companies in three states, and we were all over. So we made a decision to sell the Connecticut company, the sweeping entity of it. It was a successful sale. The problem was, as we all know in the sweeping industry, you need to know sweeping. You need to be in it. You need to feel it, touch it, and there's a lot of ups and downs that sometimes investors don't get down to. They had two successful years. The third year, they started having a few problems. I don't know whether it's because of the economy or what it might be. But through negotiations, I took the company back. It was a very peaceful move. We agreed on both sides. When I took the company back in Connecticut, we decided to rename it to Tri-State Industrial Maintenance. And at that time, when I took the company back, I divided it up a little bit. I sold off some of the litter business. And I kept the major sweeping and tractor and camera and some repair work. At that time, we took Heather Cassidy back with me, who was one of my managers when it was Pavement. So I made her general manager of the industrial company. And we went forward. I mean, it's been a year of transition. It's been a year of hell with the economy. And now we're back into our new facility. I have a 26,000 square foot building in Oxford, Connecticut, state-of-the-art. Wash bays, repair shop, parts warehouse, and we're moving all our entities in Connecticut back into this building. And we're going to work out of this building, hopefully, from now until whenever.
The area that you emphasize is the municipal larger end size of things, and I know that there are a lot of smaller, especially municipalities these days, that are thinking it might not make sense to keep a sweeper or two around that they don't use that much or that they don't know that much about and so forth. So I think your niche market is one that has a lot of prospect, even in a down economy or perhaps especially from a down economy. Talk about, if you would, what Tri-State does, Heather. What is your emphasis market area and how do you approach that? I know a lot of sweeping contractors out there that are listening are probably in the parking lot side of things and wonder about the street side. You know, how do you approach the street sweeping side of the marketplace?
The area municipalities, usually it's a bidding process. So we have to be competitive in our pricing for the bidding. And then when it comes to the more private commercial areas, they want the spring sand sweep after putting down the winter sand and the parking lots and so on and so forth. And we have to give them a fair price. You know, you have to go out and look at the job, see how much sand is there, how much labor is going to be involved, what it's going to take to get the material removed from the site and dispose of it properly. So pretty much that's it. In this economy, it's hard. You know, you got to give them a good price and you have to provide good service. You have to make the customer happy if you expect to continue to do business with them.
Are the things that you would point out in municipal contracts to watch out for? What come to mind from my experience are the difference between, say, curb miles and street miles, whether you sweep intersections or you don't. And one that's, I think, an item that's looming for us as an industry is making sure that you're not seen as taking control of the debris stream when you drop it off at a landfill. that it was never yours. It was always whoever your customer was. It was their debris, and it remains their debris, because we never know what we're picking up on the street. Those types of things or other things, are there pitfalls that may be in a contract that's offered to you that you want to be on the lookout for and change if you can?
Working with the municipalities, you know, sometimes it's the road itself. If it's crowned, that can be trying to get into the curb tight. Sometimes they are pretty picky about that. Sometimes they'll provide a laborer, though, to help you get the hard spots, which is always nice. And disposal, they need to, with that amount of sand and that amount of miles, they need to definitely provide a disposal site. Otherwise, it becomes very costly for us as the vendor to, you know, to get rid of all that material. It's also providing dump trucks and water. If they're going to provide the water, or if we need to make arrangements to have a tanker truck or the dump trucks, they're going to require 2, 3, 4, depending upon what size of, you know, what section of town you're at. And the rain, the weather is always a problem, you know. They'll cancel, and then it won't rain, and we got a day down, we've lost a lot of miles. So those are some of the things that, you know, they have to be a little lenient with you. They really need to work with us on that. But we have a good rapport with most of the municipalities around here, and they like the way we do business, so we tend to get along very well.
That's something that's well known among municipalities, and I advise contractors that are listening to this to remember that municipal administrators talk back and forth more than parking lot managers do. And you're going to be pretty well known at whatever your reputation is. It doesn't take very long for that to get out. And I agree with you. When municipalities know that you're doing your best effort, I mean, it's raining at their place and it's raining at yours. You know, as long as everybody realizes that you're giving a best effort, there is that leniency, and that's a very good point to bring up. I noticed that you have an interesting marketing on your website, a marketing niche where you say, well, you know, even if you're sweeping your own city, perhaps we can provide you with support, dump trucks, water trucks. I was pleased to see that because, you know, that's an area that people might not think. They think, well, you know, if they're going to do the sweeping, they've got the rest of the equipment. But that's not the case always.
Some contractors just want to provide the sweepers, you know. They just want to go in and provide the service and not have any of the support equipment. But we've had quite a fleet of dump trucks, water trucks, camera trucks, Vactor trucks. So we like to try and be full service, you know, do their pipe cleaning, catch basin cleaning, sweep the roads. Typically in the spring, we like to do the sweeping first and sweep everything, whatever goes into the basins. Then we like to go back and clean the basins out for them as part of their annual maintenance program. That's kind of like we try to market it towards that. And then in the wintertime, we like to provide the plowing and the sanding, so we have something to sweep in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you do get the weather out there in Connecticut. There's no question about that.
I think everybody knows by now about stormwater management and the federal regulations, and I think everybody should know that basically this is going to play a big part in our industry in reference to maintaining the streets. It's been known in some of the federal books now that they're starting to recognize the sweeping companies as a main player as far as best management practices. So, I mean, that's one thing I do personally. Back in the 90s when we had the problems with that economy, it always comes to the table whether a town should buy a sweeper or hire a service. I think the guys need to know that, you know, back then it was 50 miles of road. I didn't think a town needed a sweeper, but now with the expensive sweepers and everything, I think you're up to about 100 miles of road. If you have 100, 110 miles of road, you really have to look at it whether it pays for you to buy your own sweeper or to hire a private contractor. In your webpage, there are graphs and worksheets on how you should determine that. I think it's very important selling services because now's the time for the guys to get out there and start privatizing towns and giving them the service they need, especially with all the stormwater management. Along with our contingency of people, I have consultants on staff that can go out and help the towns do their stormwater management plans and file their MS4 permits and things of that nature. So we have a lot to offer. As we got older, we got a little smarter, got a little bit more involved. And service is really where it is. The more you can do for them, the better off you are, because they're looking to cut their staff. With them cutting their staff, they don't have the people around to do all the things they did years ago.
Those are very good points. And I'd like to point out, as editor of World Sweeper, that I've known you personally for many years, and I know that you were an early adopter of the stormwater runoff pollution understanding, and have contacted me years ago and gone back and forth in conversations and literature on how you can best serve your customers' needs in terms of stormwater runoff management. That is huge, and you've designed your company around being able to provide a very positive model for them to cover all aspects of their stormwater management when you add in the catch basin cleaning and the filtrations systems that you offer as a company as well. That's huge these days. And sometimes a sweeping contractor might contact a small city with those, you know, 50 miles of road you're talking about, and they'll say, well, you know, we really don't need the sweeping, or we're doing the sweeping like thus and such, and so we're fine. And a key element, which my guess is you can certainly bring to the table at this point, is when you know better to be able to say that. You know, we're experts in this field, and Mr. City Manager, you may not realize that this is happening and this is happening and this is happening over here, and these are the EPA requirements, and this is how sweeping can affect your stormwater runoff management. By you having that kind of knowledge, I know that that's a huge aspect to bring to the table. Have a company that is a credit to any city and that can boost their own stormwater management program. So I'm sure that that's something that Tri-State Industrial can bring to the table.
It's a great addition to the future of anybody's company. I mean, because the more service you can add to these guys, it's a great help to them because, like I said before, they're sure to help. And stormwater management is a federal law now. In the very near future, it's going to be like the tank program where they had to replace oil tanks. Mm-hmm. You must file a permit. You must maintain your streets. You must have a management plan. So, you know what? It's a regulation. And, you know, an old-timer told me a long time ago, you make a lot of money off regulations. It's not that you're stealing. It's something that has to be done. You just have to do it professionally, know what you're doing, and be able to help people. We've got to get the attitude of just going out there charging money. You have to have an attitude of working with these guys, working with the engineers, working with the city manager. You know, see what their problems are, because sometimes when you go in and you listen to them a little bit, you might be able to come back with a different quote or different plan or different idea. Another thing that's going to be hitting the table very shortly, which has hit some of the states, is disposal. Disposal is becoming a problem. It's non-hazardous waste, but it's got to be classified. They want paperwork. They want to know where. So you can't dump it on your neighbor's lawn anymore and let them use it for fill. They want to know where all this stuff is going, especially material comes out of catch basins. You never know what you're taking out of a catch basin, depending on where you're working in the city, if you're working in an industrial area or an area where there's a lot of gas stations, repair shops, and a lot of people that are just hanging out. You might be pulling out needles. You might be pulling out anything. So catch basin material is very highly recognized to be a problem. So, you know, I personally right now am involved with both Connecticut and New York with the DEC trying to see how we can get some kind of permit. And they're having a hard time doing it because they know that if they take a load of catch basin material, they don't know what's in it. It's [S2] Huh. [S1] Unknown. Where if they go out and do an oil tank removal, they know it's just contaminated with oil. So catch basin material, as much as we don't think it's a problem, it's a very big problem. So I think everybody needs to educate themselves and know where they're going. There's a dollar to be made in that area.
Well, no question. And the reason you can make a dollar in that area is because you can save a city $1.50 in headaches by being an expert in that field and providing the services that they need. And I want to reiterate again something I touched on a little bit earlier, which is, make sure in your contracts that you are never taking control of your debris stream, whether that's the city municipal street waste or it's even more importantly catch basin waste. You don't ever want that material contractually to be tied back to you just because you picked it up or you sucked it up out of a catch basin. That material never belonged to you. It always belonged to them, and make sure your contract spells out that it, as a convenience to your customer, you're disposing of their debris stream.
Yes, that is very important to spell that out. The customers need to be aware, too, that once we pull that off their property, it doesn't forgive them of any liability. I mean, it came from their catch basins. I ran into a few situations where some people had changed the oils in their cars and dumped it right down in the catch basin. So once you get in there and you start seeing that oil, you have to back away a little bit and say, hey, you know, I can't just take this and dump this anywhere. We now it needs to be disposed of properly. And they don't really know what's in their basins. They have no idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to make sure that you check out your job before you do it. Make sure your contract is written to protect you, the company. You know, make sure you educate your customers as to what happens with their systems and what problems they can pop up on them.
Let them know that they're working with a company that when they see some kind of foreign material in the catch basin, that they're not going to just treat it as business as usual, but they're going to do appropriate disposal techniques and document it, and, you know, whether that's with digital photos or however, document what it is they took out, what the situation was, where they disposed of it. That's the kind of thing that provides a comfort zone for your customers. It's critical.
It is.
I noticed that you do other services, and, you know, when you look at a parking lot sweeping company, a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, here's what we do. We also do pothole patching, and, you know, if we look at your signage, or they might see if your lights are out. Maybe they have a bucket truck that they do lights and so forth. You've really developed the same kind of a system for municipalities. I wondered if you'd talk about that a little bit, where you do your pavement maintenance side of it, you can do curb repairs and sidewalk repairs and that sort of thing.
All the companies are really diversified. I mean, you're in a seasonal business, so you always want to have, you know, the seasons covered. I mean, basically, it's a sweeping company, it's a catch basin company, we do snow removal at some of our locations. And along with that, we offer the repairs of doing potholes and doing curb repair, sidewalk repair. We do a lot of drainage. Because you know what? In your marketing situation, you're talking to the same individual that okays that type of work. It's not that you're talking to somebody else. So it's very easy in your networking and when you're going to your meetings to bring all of this to the table. You know, there's a lot of times I run into somebody and say, well, I didn't know you had a catch basin truck. I didn't know you had a camera equipment to do a video inspection of underground pipe. Well, you know what? That's my fault because I didn't market properly. So I immediately, you know, step up my marketing and make sure that everybody knows. But there's a lot of things out there. And I may say this right now. The most important thing, you have to be visual. You have to be visual to your customers, and I use that as the theme with my company. You need to be visual to everybody. You need to be visual to your equipment to make sure it's proper. You need to be visual to your people to make sure they're educated properly and they understand what you expect of them. And you need to be most important visual to your customers and your highway superintendents to help them along. You know, every once in a while it doesn't help to give them an idea that you don't make any money off of. You know, it's just a courtesy. And that's where you got to be. In today's world, with the economy the way it is, it's made a person very smart. You need to really do a lot of thinking, bring everything to the table, figure it out, and do the best you can. And, you know, I just hope the economy turns a little quicker than it's going. That's all I can say.
You hit on one part that I want to emphasize. I think especially in this economy, it's important to recognize that we're all doing some things for our customers that we're not charging for, and it's critical that they know that. I'm reminded of a Charlie Brown cartoon I saw years ago where he was talking about what happens if you pee your pants in a dark suit. It gives you a warm feeling, but nobody notices.
Does anybody know?
So you need to make sure that they know that you're giving them a discount. Go ahead, Heather, please.
I do that on my invoices. If we're negotiating that with them for travel time, discounting parts, or anywhere that they're getting a break, I will put no charge on there or discounted 10% or as per agreement, arrangements made, delivery arrangements were free, anything like that. But you need to let them know that you're trying to help them out too.
Absolutely.
If you put it on there, then sometimes they don't remember or the conversation or they don't see it. And, you know, you got to try and market yourselves and know that you're trying to help them as well.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your GPS system, if we could. I think GPS is a very critical component of your marketing these days. Well, how have you found that to be helpful?
Of course, customer always wants to know what's going on. It's very, very enlightening when you bring them a report, especially if you're running litter businesses. It's very important. You can let your customers know how long your trucks are on the property. As far as the customer's point of view, because you get a lot of customers, you know, so, well, you're never here. Well, you know what? Here's the GPS. You might say I did a bad job, but I was here. You know, because the customer is just like any other human being, looking for a discount, looking to hold something to your head so that they can get a break in the bill. So GPS has done a lot. It's helped our company in identifying accountability of the drivers. It's helped us professionally show the customers that we are watching our people, and this is what's going on. And you know what? We talked about 45 minutes to clean this lot, but it's really taken me an hour and a half, and I can actually show them the hour and a half. So it's really an educational situation where it's a working relationship between you and the customer. Most important, it's helped us really cut some costs. Not saying that our drivers are doing crazy things, but you know what? By adjusting their routes, adjusting their schedule, you know, we cut an hour off the run. As far as the broom work is concerned, we've used it a couple of times where, you know, the towns want to know where the sweepers are because they're on the honor system. They go out and do a zone, and they want to be – everything's accountability today. You know, taxpayers want to see what's going on. You know, if a machine is parked for 15 minutes, taxpayers said, oh, it was parked for an hour and a half having lunch. Well, here's the report. It was only there for 22 minutes. What do you want me to tell you? He had a lunch break. You know, when you answer questions like that, it puts a different light on the conversation.
Well, there's no question, and just having it is an enormous comfort zone for a customer because they know that they can at any time invoke to get a report, and I think it's important from a driver's perspective, too. I know that you've been at many of the National Pavement Expo through the years, as I have been, and it seems like about every other year we bring up GPS and some new guy wants to know, gee, does GPS pay for itself? The answer is, yeah, in about 20 minutes. Because we use, you know, many drivers and many employees and so forth, that around the room there'll be stories about, you know, the guy that was off cleaning his girlfriend's trailer park or was going down a side road 70 miles an hour or whatever it was that you're able to uncover. But once those GPS units are in place, they are a wonderful insurance policy, if you will, and a comfort zone for customers. So like the old thing about locks, it keeps honest people honest. It keeps your business running smoothly.
They're a great help, and you have to manage them, Ranger. You know, just because you have 50 trucks doesn't mean you need 50 GPS systems. You have to place them properly. I mean, you know, because you don't want to waste your money. So it's up to you to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can pretty much tell over time where they should go, and, you know, you need to know whether they're required in a particular customer situation and so forth. But you're 100% right. Knowing that it's possible to be on a GPS report, employees will do a better job, I think, all the time, and that can be an important factor. What are other things that you think would be important or informative to bring into our interview about how to run a business or how to be successful in business? I know especially in this economy, there are a lot of people struggling.
It's a hard question, Rick, because in today's economy, I mean, I don't think anybody has a direction the way our government has to start making some strong decisions. Going to the bank and trying to finance new machines is very difficult. It's difficult. It's a hard question to answer. The only thing I can really bring to the table is that where we backed off in the last 5 years or 6 years ago, you need to get back to the nuts and bolts. You really, as an owner, need to be out there and touch and feel your machines, talk to your drivers, be involved with your customers. Visual, like I said before, is very, very important. Being visual to your customers, letting them know that you're there. Talking to your drivers, your mechanics, finding out the repeat repairs that should not happen. What I find is very, very important. If you send a machine out that's properly sweeping, adjusted properly, has the proper brooms on it, proper adjustments on it, and that machine goes out and sweeps well, we have two benefits. Number one, we have a good job, we have a happy driver, and we all know what happens when a machine's not adjusted properly. If you have to go down a road six times instead of two times, everybody starts to get a little annoyed. Customer gets a little annoyed because you're wasting time, the driver gets upset, and that's when things start to fail. I think it's very important that the machines are tuned, they're adjusted properly, and everybody has an understanding for that. And it makes no difference how old the machine is or how new a machine is. If you don't adjust a new machine, it's not going to sweep well. Appearance, image, and knowing what you're doing. Safety is a big thing today. All our drivers go through a drug testing program. They all have medical cards. We all have the 10-hour OSHA training. You have to do this. You have to let your customers know that, too, because it's all part of insurance and regulation. Along with being visual and knowing what you're doing and just being on top of things, I mean, I think a lot of people become comfortable and they start to get a little lax. We can't do it now. You need to crunch every corner. You need to crunch every figure. You need to look at everything. You need to get your discounts. You need to work everything. You know, here at Tri-State and 3D in New York, we do that. I mean, we've gotten back to the nuts and bolts. I mean, we've been involved in a lot of different sweeping. We've swept parking lots. We've done towns of all different sizes. We've done highway sweeping on 95, one of the worst roads in the country. We've had the state contract here in Connecticut for many years, going back before when we had pavement maintenance. There's a lot of safety involved. There's a lot of stress involved. You have to stay on top of things. And you know what? If you stay on top of things, you're going to find out what goes wrong. You're going to pay attention. You know, and there's room when you have good management. There's one thing I've been blessed with. I've had a good management team at my locations. Things are going well right now, and we're really tightening the belt. I think we're going to be okay until the economy turns, and I'm getting ready for, you know, good times, because I think once it turns, we're all going to be into it.
Well, that's a great place to leave it. It's very positive, and you run quite an impressive ship there. And I appreciate your input on behalf of the industry to have some of this information brought forward, I think, is very good. Is there anything else you feel like you'd like to say in conclusion, or should we wrap that up?
I think I've told you everything about sweeping. You know we're involved with repair shops. That's another thing that helps our towns out. We help them out with their machines. When they have a problem with their machines, they bring them here. We have a lot of good competitors around here. I don't think negative about anybody in our area. We all try and help each other in this world. I think that's what we have to do now.
I said friendly competition.
Well, competent competition. I think that's important. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the input on all of these topics from both of you. We've been speaking with Heather Cassidy, who is the general manager, and Johnny D. Dubioso, who is the president of Tri-State Industrial Maintenance Corporation. They're located in and headquartered in Connecticut. They are WorldSweeper.com's Contractor of the Month for October 2010. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.